Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be in God's house and so good to be with you all. If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. I woke up yesterday morning. I stayed up with my cousin Lisa, and they have woods all around them. And I woke up yesterday morning sounding like Mr. Haney. I've got this little squeaky thing going on in my voice. If I try to say something after church, don't buy anything. No. And those of you that could, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. We then as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for He says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, I pray today that you will help us, Lord, to always live joyfully in this Christian life. Because God, you are the source of true joy. We can't find it anywhere else. And Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you. Let everything, God, that I say be from you, Father. Nothing from my thoughts or flesh. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So, if I was to stand up here this morning and tell you what our world is filled with, our world is filled with depression, violence, anger, suicides, natural disasters, and as you've been hearing on the news lately, there are shootings happening all over the world. And people, a lot of people tend to get on the TV and watch the news. And I've heard a lot of people tell me, "Well, I just can't miss my news program." And I ask people, "Well, what do you actually get out of that? I want you to tell me what is so important that you want to hear all that depressing stuff that's going on." "Well, I just want to know about it." And I said, "Well, I want to give you a challenge. I want to challenge you to this evening, don't turn on the news. I want to encourage you to pick up God's Word. And I want to encourage you to start reading the Bible, because in God's Word, there is happiness, there is joy, there is peace, and there is true contentment. Because you see, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is life-changing. It builds up. It strengthens. It guides us. You know, the Bible to us, Darwin and I were talking earlier about driving, and Darwin said, "Yeah, I love Google Maps." I said, "I do too." Because, you know, when I punch in where I'm going, see, some folks, I like to make them think I know where I'm going, but really, I punch in the coordinates of where I'm going, and Google Maps tells me from start to finish what route to take, the quickest way, and how to get there, and how to do it the right way. Sometimes it does. But one thing that will never fail me on the journey of life, from the time I became a Christian and up until the time of death, I have the Word of God, which always guides me through this journey of life, and it will never lead me astray. It will never make me turn the wrong way. If I miss a day of reading, and I'll say this, I didn't take my Bible with me, and I should have over the weekend. I did my devotion yesterday. I pulled up my little devotional on my phone, and I went through the devotion, and I read the scripture. But it wasn't the same as getting into the Word and just spending that time with God, because I feel like I brushed the Lord aside. Maybe it's my thinking that if I don't do it a certain way, maybe it's not going to be as good. But you know, even just spending that little bit of time in the Word yesterday, it sets the course for my day, because I pray, I ask the Lord for the wisdom and knowledge that I could live right, that I could make the right decisions, that I could be a source of joy and happiness for somebody else. Yesterday, as my cousins and I were gathered together, I can't tell you the inexpressible joy that I had, because I was with them face to face. I wasn't talking to them over the phone, and I wasn't sharing, you know, an email with them or anything like that, but we were there face to face. We were laughing, we were having a good time, and we were cutting up, you know, telling jokes and playing jokes on one another like we did growing up. Some of us have grown up, some of us haven't. But what I got out of that was this joy. And when I left yesterday and left home area of Arkansas, I was driving to go see my Aunt Glenda. And all I just could smile. That's all I could do is smile. And I was thanking the Lord for just that time with them, because it brought me a lot of happiness. But the time that I spend with the Lord, it's even greater and more joyful than that. Because see, God is a powerful, loving God. He's given me His Son, Jesus. He's prepared a home for me in heaven. He has healed my body. He has given me a purpose and a reason for living. He has given me so much in this life, so many blessings. He's given me the opportunity to stand in this pulpit and preach each Sunday. And for that, I have a joy that goes beyond what words could even describe. But you know, in the world today, do you know that there are so many things in the world that promise people happiness and contentment? You ever see on TV, have you been feeling down lately? Are you sluggish? Are you tired? Do you want that youthful vigor back you once had? Well, buy our product. And for $19.95, we'll not give you just one bottle, but we'll give you two bottles. And people will see those kind of commercials, and the first thing, well, write down that phone number. Let's call them and let's get that stuff. Because somebody gave them an empty promise for joy and contentment. A lot of people find joy and contentment in the material possessions of this world. And do you know what? The material possessions that you have here, they're going to fade away one day. They're not going to be here. And I heard somebody talking one day, and they were talking about everything they had amassed and gathered in life and the money and all this. And I'm just like, ooh, that just sounded awful. And so I interjected and I said, do you mind if I say something real quick? And they're like, sure. I said, I want you to know this. At one point in our life, we're going to pass away. And when we die, we can't take any of that stuff with us. And I said, I want you to know this also, that somebody is going to get your stuff. Somebody else is going to gain possession. People are going to pilfer through it. It's going to be sold. It's going to be handed away or taken to a donation place, whatever. And I said, so what kind of joy and contentment does that stuff give to you? I've got an older truck sitting out there, but I don't make it, an object in my life of importance. I thank God for it, and it gets me where I need to go, and it runs good. So I thank the Lord for that. But that's not where my joy and contentment's at. My joy and my contentment comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can top that. See, the Bible tells us not to store up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust will destroy and thieves will break in and steal it. But the Bible tells us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And what I mean by that is the things that we do for God, when we work for the Lord, when we're ministering, when we're serving in whatever capacity, I don't know about you, but when I'm doing something for the Lord or I'm doing something in the church or for the church or whatever, going to visit somebody, I get this level of excitement because I'm not doing it for me and I'm not doing it for that person. I'm doing it for the Lord because He's the one that's called me to do that. And God is working in that very situation, and there will be an outcome, which I won't know of at the time, but there's always an outcome that God has in store for everything that we do. Now, God expects us as Christians, and He commands us that His people be happy. Now, somebody said something to me the other day that really struck me hard. They said, "Do you know that God is always the same and that God never changes?" And I was like, "Wow." Because God is love, God is joy, and He never changes. He is always the same in all situations. And God expects His people to be joyful at all times. How many times does the Bible command us to be joyful in all things? Even when we're going through death, through devastation, through financial crisis or sickness, we are to be joyful. Now, some people would look at us and go, "Well, how in the world could I be happy through these times?" Well, why would you want to be sad through them? When you're putting yourself in a sad feeling through a bad situation, you're going to feel a lot worse. I remember watching a movie, and I cannot remember the name of it. It's been many years back. And anyway, these people were trapped, and they didn't know how they were going to get out of this place they were in. And somebody started singing. And then somebody else started singing praises. And people just started focusing not on the situation they were in, but they started to focus on the Lord. And in the movie, of course, there was the extraordinary events happened and they were rescued. And I'm thinking, wow. So even in like my times of sickness, there's been times I've been in pain and I have gone before the Lord and I have just sang as much as I could. Even though tired or wore out, stressed, whatever, even at perilous times when I didn't know what I was going to do, I would look to the Lord and I would just start to praise Him and sing to Him. And the moments that I did that, there was a peace that overwhelmed my heart and my life. And I could feel God saying to me, "I am here with you through all of this." Now, yesterday, during the graveside service, there was some sadness, but there was a lot of joy because sadness, my aunt wasn't here anymore, but there's a lot of joy because she's no longer sick and in that body, and she's not having to go through the Alzheimer's that she was experiencing. And I firmly believe that she had given her heart and life to the Lord, and I believe she went to heaven. So there's a lot of joy there, knowing in the fact that we were standing in the cemetery saying goodbye and putting her to rest, putting that old body to rest, but the joy knowing that she's up in heaven and she's not sick She's not diseased. She's not oppressed anymore. And she's rejoicing in the presence of God. Sometimes I get a little bit jealous when I think of a Christian dying and they've gone on to heaven. They get to see the Lord. They're getting to see Him face to face and experience His power and glory. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? That right there should cause us to get excited. When we get up of a morning, on Sunday morning even, and we know we're headed to God's house, we should be excited and joyful because we get to see one another, but we get to celebrate God, and we don't have soldiers guarding these doors telling us we cannot come in. We should be thankful for these things. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." Now, King Jehoshaphat and his army, they were preparing for this battle, and they didn't have a big army. If you remember, the army that they had was reduced down to a small number, and they were going to be going up against thousands of in another army that had weapons, and they were trained to fight. And Jehoshaphat and his army, they were never trained. They didn't have the weapons, and they weren't trained in combat and battle like this big army. But the thing that got me when I first read this in the Bible many years ago, and I studied that story, was King Jehoshaphat and his army did the one thing that we should always do. They were singing praises to God as they went to battle. And who knows what happened as they rejoiced and sang as they marched toward battle. When they got to the place where the battle was supposed to happen, what did they find? They found the other entire army all wiped out, dead already, because they decided to rejoice. So if we would take every morning of our life and every part of the afternoon or evening, and if we would rejoice in the Lord and say, "Father, I put my trust and my faith in You, and I'm going to let You lead my life, and I'm going to leave my own thoughts and decisions out of it, but I'm going to put my trust fully in You because I know that You have every answer that I need." Now, my cousin's husband was talking to me the other night, and he said something that just really thrilled my soul. He said, "We had a big bill came to us." He runs a lawn mowing business and pretty successful with it. But he said, "We had a very large bill came in the mail." And he said, "I didn't have the money to pay it, and it was due." And he said, "So we decided, instead of worrying about it, we would just joyfully give it to the Lord and pray over it." And he said, "We started praying and asking God to provide." And he said, "It wasn't very long that money, a check came in the mail that they weren't expecting. They trusted the Lord and they were able to pay the bill." And I thought, well, see, right there shows God's provision. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter if you have no degree, an associate's degree or a PhD, whatever. Those things do not matter. But what matters is there is a God in heaven who knows all of your needs and promises in His Word that just as He cares for the birds in the air and the fish in the sea, and that He cares for the flowers that grow in the field. Now, if He provides for all of them, then don't you think He's going to provide and take care of our needs? And we are created in His likeness. We are God's children. We are more valuable than they. Now, I want you to focus on that for a moment. That right there should make you excited. That should make you very happy. So, let's take a look at Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And Paul and Silas started singing praises to God. I mean, they were shackled up. They couldn't go. They were in the darkest, dreariest prison. And I guarantee you, they weren't treated like royalty in that prison. And at the midnight hour, when they were singing praises to God, the jailhouse began to shake, and the shackles that were holding them were broken, and they were freed, and the prison doors were opened. And Paul and Silas came out, and the jailer saw it. And the jailer became afraid because all the prisoners were walking around free. And he drew his sword and was going to take his own life. But Paul and Silas called out to him and said, "Don't wait, don't wait, we're here. Don't do that." They had an opportunity. They witnessed and ministered. They went back to the home of the Philippian jailer, and the Philippian jailer and his entire family found salvation in the Lord. And I thought, wow. So all these things that I read in God's Word, people rejoiced. They found true joy and contentment in the Lord God. And in their situation, God came through at the right time. And God brought deliverance. 2 Corinthians 7:4 says, "Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation." Exceedingly joyful in all of our tribulation. See, God is basically wanting you to know you can chase everything that's in front of you that this world has to offer, but it's not going to hold any value. It's not going to bring you true contentment and joy. Something I realized when I was a kid, I used to want every new toy that I saw on TV. Oh, I would. I'd see a brand new toy, and I'd run to my dad and say, "Oh, Dad, I saw this thing on TV. I want it. I want it so bad." And boy, it would not leave my mind. I'd sit in school and I'd think about that toy, and I couldn't get it off. And I wasn't going to be satisfied until I had that toy. And I remember this one thing I got was, does anybody know what a big wheel is? Oh yeah. I was a little guy, and I wanted this big wheel so bad, and my mom and dad got it for me. And you know that the wheels are made out of plastic. Well, what happens after a little while when you've been running them plastic wheels on blacktop or concrete? They get slick. And when them wheels get slick, that thing don't want to go nowhere. It wants to sit there. You turn them pedals, and all you're doing is like being on a stationary bike. Well, I was so excited. I got that big wheel. And I got out on that thing and I rode it everywhere until the day came about a week and a half later when that front wheel had a bald spot on it and it was slick. And I took that thing across the street. I had to push it and I was getting mad at it. And I got on the playground and I tried to go up the incline and I couldn't go nowhere. And I kept getting madder at that thing. And I had to push it up the incline at the playground, get it on top, get right on the edge, jump on, and let that thing just coast me down. And then I'd pull that. Well, after a while, the sheer joy of wanting that big wheel was gone. I told my dad, I said, "I wish I didn't have that big wheel." He said, "Well, why is that?" I said, "Because it didn't hold up." And he said, "See, son," he said, "there's things in life that are more valuable than the things we desire." And I still see things today. Boy, I go to the hardware store, I see a new tool, and I'm going, ooh. I go to Janine and go, "Hey, I want that," until it quits working, and then I don't have no more joy in it. But the things that God has given me, like yesterday, my family, being here today, all of my well, your guys are my family too. We're a part of God's family. This is where the joy is at. This is where it all happens. And after last Sunday being Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, knowing He is alive, that's the source of our real joy right there. He is alive. He's not dead. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And one day Jesus is coming back to take us home to be with Him, whether it's in death or whether when He returns. One way or another, we will be with Him for all of eternity. See, happiness is something that's temporary, but true joy from God is everlasting. It really is. Now, I'm still happy, you know, about getting to go on my trip, but you know what? That's going to wear off. It will. It's just a part of human life. That I'll have good memories to think about, and I'll smile now and then, but that's not my true joy and contentment. Getting up this morning and worshiping the Lord and praying to Him, getting to talk to God, gives me the greatest joy. Serving Him and worshiping Him gives me the greatest joy. And you know what? As I've gotten into my adult life, I have found out I don't want all the stuff that I see on TV. I don't want all the stuff I see in the store. I mean, it'd be nice to have, you know, a few good things. I used to think it was a grand idea to have the biggest house. I always wanted a fancy house. I always wanted the fanciest car. I always wanted, you know, the biggest church. I always wanted the big, you know, the big crowd. And you know what I was doing? I was just middling around in a mud puddle, basically. Because the time came, I had a nice house, really nice house, and I had a nice car, and I had really nice clothing, and had the church. And you know what? I was sitting in the office one day, and the pastor who'd been there before, he bought this big old desk in there with a glass top. Man, it was wood, heavy, big old fancy burgundy chair with that leather and the rivets in it. They call it an ox blood color. And I was having a time in my life. I thought, boy, I was pastoring this church and all that. And one day I was sitting in that chair taking a good long look around, and right here was empty as could be. I had everything else in the world that I wanted, but right here I was not happy. I was unfulfilled. And when the time came that I resigned that big church, and I left all that, and I told the Lord, it came to a point, I said, Lord, I don't want this anymore. All I want You. See, I got to a place where I had to look up. And you know where God put me back into preaching? God started putting me back into small churches. You know what I had? True joy in my heart. I went back to a basic house, you know, and basic ways of living. And you know what? My attention's not even on that stuff. My focus each day is doing for the Lord. And that's where my real joy comes from. We are here just for a short time. And I just want to say off a couple of these points real quick. You should count your blessings, not your troubles. You should live life only one day at a time. Learn to be a giver and not a getter. And pray every day. See, the most happy people are the ones that give. And you know, the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. Amen. And I get so much joy out of, you know, used to I'd be like, well, who's going to give me a present, I wonder, at Christmas, you know? And I thought, well, I don't want to have to buy that person a present. It was a thing of the flesh. And you know what? I found out when I even buying little gifts, I stopped last night at Reeves Boomland at Charleston, Missouri to get gas. And well, we always go in there on a trip coming back. And we like to walk around and shop and look at stuff. Well, I was thinking of Janine, and I missed her, and I wanted to get her something. So I went to her favorite little section where they got all these decorative stuff, and this thing looked like a house window, and it said, "Home is where love abides," on there. It was real pretty, and I just felt the Lord say, "Get that for your wife." And so I bought that for Janine, and when I finally got home last night, I gave that thing to her, and I had more joy giving her that gift than seeing her receive it. Because knowing that she was getting a blessing, knowing that she was going to be happy. So if we give to people, and if we give of ourselves, we're going to be the happiest folks in the world. We really will. So remember, when you die, leave this world, you can't take none of the stuff with you. You came into the world naked, you're going to go out of this world naked. I mean with nothing, what I should say. You came here with nothing, you're going to go out with nothing. Now as a Christian, you'll get to heaven, and everything that you work for, everything you did for the Lord, it'll be there. But you know what I often wonder? Will we truly be seeking those treasures? I don't think so. I think we'll be busy serving the Lord, praising the Lord for all that He's done. And we'll be rejoicing with our family and friends that have gone on before us. That ought to give us a lot of joy right there. If Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have all you'll ever need. And we should be the happiest people this world has ever seen. Let your light shine before men so that they'll know that you're Christians.